and Michael Brand do kind of a well, thanks everybody for tuning into this week's episode of Entrepreneurial Impact. We've got a special guest today, Michael Brand, who serves as the leader for four different brokerage operations between New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut. And I've had the in my leadership journey, my relationship building and being able to learn from him in some of the rooms that I've had at the regional director role has been really awesome to see his insights and building that relationship with some of my networks and relationships through the future of real estate community. So I'm really excited to have Michael on today, because the one thing that's always stood out from my perspective in those rooms with him has been his ability to deliver on leadership in tough times while still inspiring hope for the future. So I wanted to say, give this over to you, Michael, and kind of do like, hey, what's been your journey through entrepreneurship? And then like that specific piece of leadership in hard times to give people future hope. So, you know, tell us about yourself, Michael. Like, where'd you start? How'd you get to where you're at today?
Awesome. Well, thank you. Thank you. Great to be here, guys. Thanks for inviting me. I got into real estate in college. You know, I turned 18, got my real estate license, did a part-time through college in the summers in open houses, and then finished college and came in full-time. So this 2025 marks 30 years in the business. And it's been an interesting journey. So I spent 12 years with a traditional company. Then I came across KW and actually moved from New Jersey to Massachusetts. I moved three states in order to satisfy my non-compete that I had with my previous company.
That's commitment and right there.
Yeah. Me and my wife got into a car, packed it up, and moved to Massachusetts for 2 years. And that non-compete was up. I moved back to New Jersey. And at that time, New Jersey, the tri-state, had 1,800 agents in it. And after launching three market centers as a team leader, they asked me to serve in a regional role. So from the time I got back to New York Tri-State in 2009, I helped grow the region from 1,800 to 11,000. So went from roughly 18 market centers to 44 market centers, and just stepped down from that last October. So I'm a year stepped out of the regional role. So as we talk about tough times, part of the reason I stepped down from the role was to spend more time on the businesses that I own. I saw my agents having fear, and at that time, they probably saw me 20% of the week at best because I was doing a lot of the regional stuff. And I said, no, this is my chance to roll up my sleeves, get down and dirty, get back in the trenches with my people, and help make sure I could lead them through these crazy times we're going through.
Well, first off, Michael, I'm going to commend you because you also have a great head of hair. So through all those stresses and changes, you kept your hair, which is just impressive coming from the bald guy at, you know, 36. So,
I tell people, Joe, I used to be 6'4 and blonde, and now I'm 5'9 with this. So it has its own impact on all of us.
Oh, my goodness.
I love when people say, really? No, it's a joke. Come on.
Well, I think it's, I really want to, I appreciate that journey story so people understand like, hey, it's not always like, you know, sunshine and rainbows, and that sometimes leadership requires getting back into the field, which is what I admire about. I think a lot of our leaders are saying, hey, we can no longer be in the ivory tower upon high and actually show leadership is coming, you know, side by side with people. So when you, you know, you talked about some of the fear and some of the piece that like relationships matter. You know, what was the first thing that you did? You're like, hey, I kind of consolidated my time, really wanted to make an impact on what made sense for my direct businesses that I own. What was the first thing that you did once you made those choices and got back on the ground with your people?
Well, if I go back to March of 2020, that's kind of where I started changing the way I operate. When our state got shut down and we were sent home, March 19th, I think it was, I went to a daily call. So every day for 2.5 months, I did a daily call with my people. You know, the changes during COVID, how we need to lead through COVID, what we need to do to operate to still be successful. And in those daily calls, people still go back and watch those videos because I had guests on, I had trainings going. I just spin the way we did it. Coming out of that, I transitioned that from daily to weekly. And I still do that today. So to me, part of the important thing about leading through times like this is every Monday, Mondays with Michael, is 10:30 to 11 o'clock every Monday. I teach a live class every Monday. I've got three mastermind sessions every week with different levels of production. So that way, I'm constantly, every week, seeing what my top people are struggling with. The challenges of the mid-level people, the challenges of the newer people. That way, as I continue to train, teach, and consult, I can be effective for everyone at every level.
For people listening, what I heard was two things. Is one, frequency of communication, right? That like there's actually a cadence behind it, because those of us that know in real leadership roles, we hear ourselves talk all the time. We think like, oh, everybody's heard me, but it's actually that consistent voice. And then number two, what I heard you talk about was actually staying market of the moment. Now, I don't want to use that buzzword, but you're like, hey, the reason that I'm with my people as much as I can is I'm getting live feedback from people in the field. I'm able to use my skill set as a leader to digest what they're telling me and then actually synthesize that as a strategy and then actionable items I can give back to people that might not be thinking through that because they're in the weeds day to day.
Without a doubt, you know, last October, I saw what was coming with this buyer brokerage stuff. And starting last October, I started teaching every week a buyer agency class and buyer script class. We changed our policies to make buyer agency agreements mandatory 9 months before the state made their change. So when the state, going after the state changed, all my competitors were losing their minds. And my agents were like, we're cool. We're good. We've been doing this for 9 months. We're not worried. You know, so some of my best recruiting appointments this year have been agents for the companies that would come and say, hey, listen, we hear you're teaching buyer agency stuff. Our brokerage isn't telling us anything. Can we hear what you're teaching? You know, so by getting ahead of it by 9 months helped give us a competitive edge. And with that, we had to create our own buyer consultations. You know, our own, you know, create our own buyer agency agreement before the state had one. So we had to create a lot of our own tools and resources. And what we're doing right now is doing the same thing on the seller side in order to help educate our agents on how we can do that much better. Because I do think we're at a time where smart agents with a good consultation can increase our average commission per side. As long as you're showing the value, you know, in the absence of value, it's not cost.
Well, there's one thing there, and I'll give it over to Dave. Like, I didn't even know you were going to go down this road, but I think what's great from leadership and what you just brought up was that leaders have to be ahead of the curve. And a lot of times you've got these like mavericks or these, like you threw out a crazy idea of like, hey, 9 months ago, we're going to go into those forms and teach buyer broker and things like that weren't going on. So now 9 months ago, people are like, ah, you're crazy. What the heck's going on? And then all of a sudden your prediction of the future came to fruition, which now makes you look, you know, from mind share. It's like, hey, I got to be with Michael because he already saw that coming well before anybody else in the competition saw it. Now they might've thought you were crazy at the time, but your bet showed up. So now it shows thought leadership inside the industry, which then creates name recognition of like attraction of market share too, which I think is brilliant right now in how you actually grow markets or broker.
And Joe, it's interesting. Back January, February, I had agents annoyed with me. I can't believe you're doing this. No other brokers were requiring this. We're not going to be able to get the buyer relationships. They're going to go to other brokerages because other brokerages aren't requiring them to sign this. I said, trust me, you want to get good at this. And come July, when the governor announced the new law going into effect August 1st, those same agents came and said, man, thank you. Thank you for not listening to me. thank you for being tough on me. Thank you for pushing me. Because I'm going up against other agents that have no idea what they're doing. And I'm good. I'm good.
You know, we had the fortunate, and I hope, you know, a lot of people listen to this podcast, but I love that we record it live because there's a different element to listening versus hearing people talk. Now, I had the benefit of being from Philadelphia, so I can feel your energy from coming across the other side of the river, right? And you had that, what I'll call that regional authenticism, right? Because I heard it from Jump, right? When you talk about 09, right? And then we talked about 19, and now we're talking about the challenges or changes, or not challenges, changes that we were looking at. This, and your mindset went instantly to action, right? Providing leadership, and it's authentic, right? So you led with hope and you led with action. How do you show up that way? Like, because I think showing up matters, not just like providing education and awareness, but how you receive the information, how you present the information provides hope to your people. And that's a skill that's necessary, but for some people comes incredibly natural. So how does that happen and how do you prep yourself when you're presenting change like that?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a low C, so I do not have a high attention to detail. I'm a people person, I'm a driver. So I actually schedule about 45 minutes a day to just research. You know, what's going on? What articles can I find? What numbers can I research? You know, when they were talking about the change, I woke up one day in the shower and said, wait, I need to understand how commissions to the buyer broker impacts the average selling price. So I spent an hour one day doing research and came up with incredible statistics that helped my agents get through some of those times. So I think one of the things I do most importantly is the days where I wake up and exercise, I'm able to show up in a very different way than days when I don't wake up and exercise. So today I knew I had a bunch of back-to-backs in this. So I'm going to point to wake up an extra 2 hours early. I woke up at 4:30, did some additional research, got to the gym a little bit earlier, make sure I ate a good breakfast in order to make sure I'm able to deliver my energy all day long. Because that's what happens to me, David, is there comes a point if I'm not doing that, by 3 o'clock, I go like this. And my ability to show up for my people is tough. I mean, people that know me know by 3 o'clock on a Friday, I need a tow truck to get myself up and keep going, because I'm giving everything I've got as much as I can, you know, day by day, week by week. So,
So what I heard you say there is, like, you got to take care of yourself first. Like, it's, you can be okay in your mind to show up, but that doesn't always come across publicly if we're not okay.
Without a doubt. And a lot of people realize during COVID and the year or two after COVID, where we just, people were hard on themselves and difficult on themselves. And I've seen more mental stress on people and emotional stress on people this last couple of years. And Tony Robbins, I'm doing UPW again this month. You know, that activity drives the kinetics in the brain that make you fire a whole different way. So I've never met anyone that exercised and took care of themselves that were unsuccessful. You know, it's kind of interesting like that. It kind of goes hand in hand.
That's awesome. Now, when we look at those periods of time, right, and Sun Tzu says, in periods of chaos, there's opportunity, right? That's the other side of this coin, right? We're doing things for the right reasons. And when you do that, the opportunities present themselves too. So I think there's gotta be a mindset to it, but you're also being very strategic for your partners and your associates around, look at what we can do. And so how do you show up that way? And how do you present that and say, guys, not only are we going to be okay, we're gonna be better than okay. I was gonna say, it's, you know, how do you not just kind of verbalize and say, we're gonna be okay, and you show up saying it, but how do you say, we're going to be okay, and we're going to be better than okay?
Well, it's an interesting question, because by nature, I'm a very highly optimistic person. So I've got to be careful how optimistic I come off, because sometimes I can be like a pie in the sky type of thing, where people are like, oh, you're just overly optimistic here. So I kind of have to balance that to some degree. But, you know, last week in our meeting, when I said, I'm excited because I think moving forward, realtors will make more money per transaction as long as they can show their value. I saw a lot of heads nodding and people kind of agreeing. You know, over the last 25 years, it has not been under control. You know, the dollars just went from X percent to Y percent to Z percent and changed each and every year when we had no control. So, you know, there's always challenges, there's always change. And I think the people that are successful at times like this are the ones that simplify it. Remove the fear, and part of removing the fear is making sure we're over communicating with our people. You know, and people know. I just had a meeting with an agent this morning. He's like, I know how busy you are. Thanks so much for, you know, giving me an hour this morning. And I think by being able to give your time to your people and let them know that you're not concerned helps them be less concerned as well. Now, I freak out at night when I'm all by myself, but when I'm in front of them. It's funny. I mean, as big brokers, we get sued, right? I mean, it just happens. You can't avoid it. And I had this new admin who used to be paralegal. And I heard I was getting a lawsuit come my way. And he goes into the court system. He's like, hey, do you mind if I check your jacket? I said, sure. Feel free to check my jacket. He goes, you're a very popular guy. You know, jokingly with how many things he's seen me associated with. And so people that know that deal with that stuff often ask, how the heck do you keep showing up like this in the midst of all of that? And I say, I've got roughly 1,600 mouths to feed. If you take my agents with their spouses and their kids, and I've got 1,600 to 2,400 people to worry about each and every day. So when I wake up, I say, what do I need to do today to positively impact my people, to make sure their kids are being fed, to make sure their kids are going to college, to make sure their kids have every opportunity they can possibly get. So, again, I'm tuned into that each and every day, which keeps me moving.
What I heard you on that one, what I think is really cool for everybody listening, is like when I hear that, those stories and those specific humans, that Michael's concerned about, I hear two things in leadership is one is strength and one is hope. Like you at this point in time, like I think people are looking for strength from their leaders of like confidence and a path forward that we will like this too shall pass. And at the same point, what's the hope? And so if you were to like, so Michael, if you, you know, as we're getting, I'm going to land this one. How do you, what's your advice to people around having strength and confidence and tying that with hope for people in the future?
First of all, ignore the media, put on blinders. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Mm-hmm. You know, focus on what you're doing, because at times like this, a large percentage of the people put their heads in the sand and wait for it to pass, hoping it's burned on the other side. So for the people that take action today and do something, you're going to be exponentially ahead of everybody else. And we've seen the number of real estate transactions are the lowest they've ever been, you know, in over 30 years, according to Lawrence Yun and the numbers.
Yeah.
However, what people don't realize, the number of agents actively participating in a transaction is also at its all-time low. So your opportunity and transactions per size is the best it could ever be. So I think at times of challenge, times of change, what do they say, Joe? Change is inevitable, choice is optional, something like that. I'm never good with quoting quotes. You know, we have a choice to embrace it and go after it. And I think markets like this is where wealth is created for people that want to rope their sleeves, get into it, and take action. So just get out and do it.
You know, I think some people inherently have leadership skills, right? And some people are thrust into leadership and they have to learn their way. And as I hear you like react, were there experiences before some of the things that you've gone through that kind of set the table for you that showed you the way? Or were you just the guy that said, I'm going to figure this out, follow me?
No, it's interesting. I, not to get sentimental, I went through a lot of hard times in life. You know, from born, the doctor said he may never walk, to, oh, wow, he's walking, he may never play sports, to having a skin rash over 90% of my body, to growing up with a poor family. I remember being on food stamps in the 1980s, and my parents always buying a house with a stove, a wood-burning stove or a fireplace, for when that inevitable day came in the winter and they couldn't pay for the oil bill, we could camp out in the living room and have heat. You know, so I saw a lot of that adversity. I'd say one of the best things that ever happened was we moved to New Jersey back in 1986. My mother had a horrible experience with her real estate agent. And she said, if this person can do it, so can I. So we went from a family of six on an income of $40,000 a year in 1986. So by 1991, we were a family of six making $140,000 a year because of what real estate can do for people. So when it comes to leading, after what I experienced in life, I've fallen in love with the fact that real estate is one of those industries that can change someone's demographic position in life. My parents got married in high school. My father was a junior in high school. Their second grandkid is just graduating Georgetown this year. So to go from barely graduating high school to graduating Georgetown is a testament to the real estate industry. So I think, you know, my big why is I wake up every day saying, how can I help impact other people to change their demographic positions in life and give a whole new level of opportunities to them and their kids? And that's kind of where, you know, overcoming those challenges early in life, and you might ask, why is this happening to me? It grew me for being a leader, because there's nothing so tough that we can't get over.
When you were saying that story, the quote that came to my mind was, tough times make tough people make easy times make weak people. And then when you have weak people, it causes tough time. And the only constant that you have in there is the tough people, the gritty people that are willing to like work through it and figure out the opportunity inside of like a shitstorm are the ones that end up learning. They end up having confidence. They understand how to get through something. And I think right now it's a matter of resilience and belief in oneself. And I think if our people can hear from other examples, like your story of like what you came from, like you didn't have a golden spoon, you didn't figure it out. Like through them figuring it out gave you a lot of intellect, a lot of confidence in yourself, and that say, hey, we can get through this, we've done it before, and like just gonna repeat itself for different players. And I think that's the thing that for the leadership from your story is like, hey, people, I can do this. I mean, anybody can do this. It's just a matter of grit, tenacity, and a little bit of education so that you can be a little bit ahead of the curve to define the reality of what the future is.
You know, I always joke with people, I'm a 2.8 student that grew up in the meth capital of the Northeast. You know, I'm a poor kid from Schenectady, New York. So if a poor kid from Schenectady, New York can manage to be successful in an industry like this, then anybody can do it. Again, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I do know it's a numbers game. And it's all about the activities we do each and every day will determine how we're doing 6 months from now. So just get up and do the activity.
So if you were to give one last piece of advice, and when I talk about leadership, it's not necessarily market center leadership, but I think everybody's a leader to some degree because we're all business owners with a real estate license, right? That's a mindset for a lot of people. What's the one thing, if people were going to walk away from listening to this episode today, that you would want them to know that it's okay and they're going to be successful if they do this one thing?
I'll go back to my very first day on the job. Pick up the darn phone. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. You pick up the darn phone. My first mentor said, the more calls you make out, the more calls you get back. So I don't care if you're an agent, you know, call your sphere. If you're a leader, call your agents. You know, call your vendors. You know, just pick up the phone. There's not a single problem we have in life that one well-priced, well-marketed listing can't fix. You know, there's no problem in life with our market centers that one new great capper can't fix. So again, agents have listings, we have cappers, it's one and the same. But if you want to make sure you're going to be okay 6 months from now, pick up the darn phone and everything else takes care of itself.
You know, it never surprises me as much as I try to, I ask that question in different ways, but the answer is relatively almost always the same when it comes to business. Pick up the phone.
Yep. That's it.
Good stuff.
You know, it's we're people business. The more face-to-face, belly-to-belly, in the mouth-to-ear you do, everything else takes care of itself. You know, Gary says it. You know, he went through 4 years at a Baylor University with a real estate degree. In no words did anyone ever say the word lead generation. I went to my first Meg camp in 2006. I got this guy in black saying lead generation. Yeah, it's not super hard. You just pick up the phone and make a contact.
Well, Michael, I just want to say thank you for your time today. I think for those listeners that tuned in, just taking away, have confidence and strength in like your belief system, go out and figure out what other people need to be doing and go take action. But the one thing I'm hearing from like the instilling of support and confidence in your people is giving them a path forward and saying, you can do this, I've done it, and this is how you take action so that you can define the future as opposed to being a passenger in your success. So,
yep. Joe, change creates fear. Fear creates paralysis. The only way to move past either of those things is taking action to keep your body moving.
So with that final piece of taking action, if you're looking to grow your business in Connecticut, New Jersey, or New York, take action and go ahead and join Michael's Brokerages. And for Action for Entrepreneurial Impact, give us a like, give us a follow, and tune into next week's episode where we got another great entrepreneur telling their story.